now, Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Thank you. We're on our way to it right now.
I have Coach Vernon Dozier with us, as you know, in the news today. Some of this made the news, Coach, and I want to be very clear. We're not prejudging you.
I appreciate that.
And Mr. Dozier is a head football coach at Belmar Academy. It's a high school, as well as a teacher there, mathematics. What else, sir?
I teach social studies, and we also teach a science and health class.
All right. The controversy has to do with the parent at the school, her daughter, and your relationship with her, which I understand you have said to the board is not physical, there's nothing sexual.
Well, I think the implication that when you say you are having a relationship with a young lady, immediately the people, because of the minds that people have these days, they immediately go to the sex. They immediately go to the what they think is molestation, because that's the kind of that's the kind of filth, I guess, that people want to wallow in.
Well, but there is a real concern because this kind of thing has happened.
Well, I will tell you this, just speaking for myself, Phil. I'm 20 years a head football coach at Belmar Academy. We're going to be playing a divisional championship game this coming Saturday night. It's something that we're very proud of.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And we have a new multi-purpose gym, stadium, and fitness facility that was completed this past spring at a cost of some $2.5 million. And when it was completed, I'm very proud to say that they put my name on it. It is the Dozier Athletic Center.
That is something to be proud of.
And when I walk on the field on Saturday night, after the final game of the season, a game I think we will be victorious in, by the way, and I've got a great deal of respect for Coach Fole and his program, but when I walk on the field Saturday night, I will have completed my 231st game as a head coach of the CIF program. I've won 4 divisional titles.
Yes, sir.
I've won 10 league titles, as well as sending some 200 boys into Division I college programs, some 31 boys into professional programs, and that is much, much bigger than Carol Westcott and her job as a parent and a parent-teacher advisor at Belmar Academy, or the parents who try and tell me what to do.
All of that is admirable, but your relationship with this minor child is in question. And
well, she is a minor, yes, but that has nothing to do with the conversation, and I resent the implications that people are making.
Well, the fear is that there might have been an improper relationship. You're saying that there isn't.
As I explained to the board at the emergency meeting, at no time have I ever been sexually involved with any minor child. Carol Westcott's daughter, her name is Amanda, by the way, and I don't have any problem using her name because there's nothing improper going on. She and I have had an email relationship. It's been completely above board.
Why, if I could ask you this question, why did you begin this relationship with a 15-year-old girl?
My wife, Marion, as you know, Phil, I mentioned, took sick 2 years ago. She's housebound. She's not fit to receive anyone. And as a result, she's been very ill, and I have not had, I suppose you could say, pleasure of her company. She is.
Can I ask you what's wrong with her?
She suffers from a mental disturbance.
I'm very sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, I can tell you it's been certainly a cross to bear. When you look at a woman that you were married to and suddenly you're no longer her husband, you're more like her keeper. We have to keep her in a locked room upstairs in the house. I can't have people over because of the noises that come out of that room at night. So I got involved in...
Oh, my God, that sounds horrible.
Well, it is.
But you got involved with this girl, Amanda, a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, I was in one of these... because I wanted to monitor what's going on, and you're absolutely right about the child molestation and everything, and I was monitoring one of the teen chat rooms and on behalf of the school and some of the parents, and I did meet her in that time and got to know her.
Are you refusing, sir, to stop your relationship with this girl? Because the mother is concerned.
Well, I know she's concerned. I mean, she brought my name up to the newspaper, and let me answer your question this way. I'll have completed 231 games as a head coach. They have named the athletic center after me. I think that what I've meant to Belmar Academy is a lot more than what some soccer mom has meant to it. And let me just tell you and your listeners something, Mr. Henry, so you can kind of put this into perspective. These soccer moms, they come busting into your life, trying to tell me what to do, trying to tell me my job. Now, she's a, you know, just because you drive a Windstar van doesn't mean you know how to coach a football program. And you sure aren't going to come into my life and tell me what to do when I got a wife who's locked in a room upstairs.
I understand that, sir. You know, a lot of this stuff you may not want to share.
Well, you know, Phil, I've talked to friends who... it helps me.
All right. I'm going to give our number out here, 1-800-449-8686. You do have an illustrious career at Belmar Academy. And you're saying that as long as your relationship with this girl isn't sexual, what's wrong with it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She is a... Amanda's quite mature for her years.
But if the parent says... Mr. Dozier, with the greatest of respect to you.
Yep.
And all that you've meant to the school. This is my daughter, and I would choose at this time, sir, that you cease your communication with her. She's young. She needs a relationship with people more her own age.
Well, that's a lie right there.
Why is that a lie?
Because she's got a relationship with her own mother. This woman, this Carol Westcott, is her mother.
Well, I know that the what I'm saying, friendships... The kinds of friendships that a person develops in life might be better for her. And I'm speaking of just as a theoretical parent.
Yeah, but see, this Carol Westcott, the mother of this girl, she's one of these soccer moms who thinks she's the only woman that ever had a kid. As soon as that baby was born, she wanted to go up and down Main Street, USA and say, hey, I had a baby. Well, ding, ding for you, you know. And she goes over here to the auto mall, the one right off of Greaves Road, gets herself a Mercury van, puts a kid seat in the back, puts on a jumper, little puke bib on her shoulder, okay?
Yeah.
And then she goes down with all the other mothers at the park with the baby in the stroller and sits there and thinks she's a big shot.
And it's her kid whether she thinks she's a big shot or not, right?
It is her kid. And I would tell you, most of the time, I would agree with you. Most of the time, I think a parent has the right to monitor their relationships with their children. But in this case, there's nothing going on. And again, what I've meant to Belmar Academy and the 10 divisional titles that we've won, along with 4 league championships, and the Dozier Athletic Center will be commemorated on this coming Friday, Saturday, or whatever day. I forgot they mailed it out. I forget the date. Mister, you call me a child molester. Boy, I hope you brought your lunch.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that a parent, the question at hand is that the parent has the right to choose the friends of her daughter.
I would agree.
You're saying you would agree, except in your case.
In my case, it's a little different because what I've meant to that school and also the personal situation I've got with my wife, who, like I said, she's not even a wife anymore. She's more like a... What do you call something that you got to lock up? No.
I understand. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, he says there's nothing going on. Did you talk to this guy before we went on the air, Chris? He says there's nothing going on between him and this girl. She's 15, and he's a teacher at the school, but they're just having an email relationship. The parent has asked that he stop and communicating with her, and he won't. And the reason that he gives is that he has meant a lot to that school. They're commemorating the athletic center after him, and he's won quite a bit of football games, and he's bigger than any soccer mom. Well, he's a venerable guy. His name is Coach Vernon Dozier, and it's an interesting story. He has a friendship that he's commenced with a 15-year-old girl at his school where he teaches. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Right. Coach Vernon Dozier, I call you Coach because I am a football fan.
Well, and I think that's got a lot to do with what we're talking about, too, Phil.
Why?
I'm a member of a million-plus football fraternity, football professionals, and what the game of football has meant to America over the years has been so significant that I don't think you can discount what myself and others have contributed to it. And if I choose to have a relationship with a young woman who is it's completely above board. Now, you have these soccer moms that don't...
Well, you keep calling her mother a soccer mom.
Well, she's one of these women who drives around in the van. Let me tell you. Right now, in my home, locked in a room upstairs, is what used to be my wife. I'm taking care of her. Don't you think that would score me some points with all these mothers and all of this kind of thing? But no, it don't. What it does, instead, is they don't care. She just wants to talk about her daughter.
Well, she's concerned as you would be. Are you a father?
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, so you have to understand how...
But I've been a teacher, Mr. Ed, for 25 years, so I don't need anybody telling me about, you know, kids. Or, you know, I've been around kids. I'm around kids every day. I'm around them so often, I pray to God and Jesus Christ himself that I'd never gotten into teaching. It just, you know, it just never ends, but I'm trying to...
Well, at least one of those students, you say, is giving you a great deal of friendship. Let me take a phone call here, Coach. 1-800-449-8686. And I want to say from a personal standpoint, because we have had you on our program before and I know you, I'm sorry for this problem, but I think, just speaking as a friend, a little bit of it is brought on by you.
Well, you do not understand the circumstances, then, sir.
Okay, fine. 1-800-449-8686. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, wait until I get on the bridge. I'm sorry, but being a coach and playing all this football and having a college or a gymnasium named after you still doesn't excuse the fact that you're dealing with a minor whose parent doesn't want you to contact her. I mean, taking your logic to the extreme end, that means that President Clinton should have had all the virgins he wanted because he was in a higher position.
First of all, you were implying that I'm having a sexual relationship.
No,
with
any relationship. I'm not implying.
Well, you mentioned virgins. I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well,
and Clinton had sex with a young lady who was of age, not a minor.
Right.
So, your analogy, and I'm speaking as an educator, is not very good. But I will tell you, you're right. If it was anybody else,
it doesn't matter
but
who it
what
is.
What I have meant to Belmar Academy.
You don't win points. Meant to this country, Clinton meant to this country, and the many great things they did.
Why do you keep bringing up Clinton? That guy, look at Clinton, between you and me, and you're a man's.
What about Bush?
Clinton shagged some hog.
But by you, by what
okay,
you're saying...
Okay, can we... Look.
No, but I had sex with some hog on the floor of the... I'm not having sex with this girl at all.
She's a minor. She's a minor. You don't have a choice.
Well, why do you keep bringing up Clinton and this butter hog that he was with?
Doesn't matter. Let's use President Bush. Does President Bush have a right to go around and talk to the young girls under the age of 18 without the parents' permission?
Of course he
does.
Does
he have the right to do more with the young girls, even with the parents' permission?
So you keep wanting to go down that route of doing more. Where are you coming from?
You haven't denied it.
I have denied totally that I've ever had any intimate relation with that girl. You keep wanting to go down that road of filth.
Well,
you
got to
stay off the road of filth.
Let's go past
the road of filth.
Relationship
leads you just down. The road of filth is going to lead you down into a dirty place.
No, sir. I happen to be a criminal attorney, and I do know what would get you in a lot of trouble. And you're already in trouble.
See, this gentleman here is an attorney. Now, why is he in trouble?
He's not. I've got a good lawyer. I don't need this mouthpiece telling me.
You're guilty until presumed innocent. You've got to prove you're innocent. And, of course, I don't care what anybody else says.
You're guilty until you're proven innocent.
Right.
That's what a lawyer says. That's what you're saying.
Especially in crimes of this nature.
What do you mean you're guilty?
If that little girl comes out and says, he touched her, that's a problem. Let's say she doesn't.
You're not saying literally guilty. You're saying in the court of public opinion?
No, I'm saying literally. I've tried a lot of criminal cases.
Well, then you're not a very good lawyer because the law says you're innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
That's what the law says.
I'm a lawyer. I mean, I've got a good lawyer. I feel sorry for the guy that hires you, man, because he's probably going to go to... Show me in the law book where it's illegal to email a girl. Go ahead.
She's under 50. She's underage.
It ain't illegal.
It's underage.
Hey, do you visit your clients in jail often, or do you just email them?
Okay.
I only visit them in jail. I can't email them.
Steve, thank you, Steve, for your call. I think he was speaking in a figurative sense. Let's go over to Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Kevin, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Fine.
Listen, here's what I have to say. Coach,
yeah,
in sympathy for your situation, and it's wonderful that you've done all the things you've done at the school.
Thank you.
But if I was the parent of that girl, you and I would have to have a conversation, especially if you decided you were going to continue to have an email relationship, as you say, with her, against the wishes of me being her parent.
But you're a football fan? Are you a football fan, sir?
I'm absolutely a football fan,
then
sir.
You understand. You're part of that fraternity of people who understand what football has meant to this country.
Sure.
And well, wait a minute. I don't understand what that has to do with the conversation.
Coach, this is what I don't understand.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand, as much as your wife is in a very bad condition, and that's really sad, but aren't there some women your age you could have an email relationship with? And you say it's not intimate, but intimacy begins with conversation.
What do you want?
It begins with sharing.
I was online one night, instant messaging some of the kids. And
see, that's another thing. You're in a chat room for teens.
Yeah.
What are you referring?
What are you doing?
I'm saying, sir, that is a totally inappropriate relationship, regardless of how innocent you say it is, for a mature man with a teenager. It's totally inappropriate.
Your name's Kevin, right?
Yes.
Kevin, on Saturday night, I will walk off the field of a brand-new athletic center.
Okay.
Okay, we know all about that, Coach.
But 231 games the head coach of the CIF program, 4 divisional titles, 10 league titles.
Okay.
200 boys in the Division I program, 31 boys in the professional ranks.
Okay.
And somebody wants to call me a pervert because I'm.
Here's what I'm saying.
I got something living upstairs.
I don't know.
To meet my wife. I don't know what it is, but it's upstairs.
But all I'm saying is that being said,
right.
and anybody with any feeling sympathize with that condition from a human level. But you cannot.
Come on, you're a man. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but you can't justify that. She's 15.
Yeah, you're going to get into some serious trouble, brother. And
look, serious trouble for what? Because I'm hanging out with
15.
She's, you give her a Barbie doll and she's happy.
You mentioned something about legal. There's nothing legally you can do. You can't go anywhere with that child against her mother's wishes.
Look, my wife is housebound. She's not fit to receive people. And
we know about your wife. And I'm.
What are you saying? You don't care?
No, I'm not saying that I don't.
But there are women your age that you could have a relationship with.
Good point. Hey,
instead of this child.
Kevin, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
1-800-449-8686 as we speak with Coach Vernon Dozier of Belmar Academy. And as I say, Coach, you and I have known each other for a long time. You've been on the program. You've talked football matters. This has got to be a very uncomfortable thing for you to be going through.
Phil, it really is not an uncomfortable thing. The first thing that became uncomfortable for me was when some, one of these, four-eyed... guys from the L.A. Times calls me up. He says, "Hey, this and that and this and that about, you." I said, "Look, once you get lost, And then I got the call from the school board, and they said, "Well, what's going on with you and this Amanda Westcott?" I said, "There's nothing going on. I'm emailing the girl, and the school board is fully aware of my situation at home. Upstairs in my home right now is something. It ain't my wife. You show me my wife's double."
I want
you to give me the respect of just explaining to you. Now, you show me my wife's double, same hair, the same skin, same eyes, and I'll know which one is my wife. And I'm telling you right now, that thing upstairs isn't my wife. And what I'm...
If you have a wife that is that ill, she needs an institution.
What institution's going to take her?
Well, and you need to institutionalize your wife, number one, and number two, address these concerns of the school.
I have meant to Belmar. Look, unless you're a football fan, you don't get it. You just don't get it. I've won divisional titles. I ought to be allowed to email a 15-year-old girl if I want to.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Wow. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Stepping over the line. Naked. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coach Vernon Dozier, he's also a social studies teacher at Belmar Academy. We're speaking of a parent at the school that has a problem with the relationship you have with her 15-year-old daughter. You say it's not sexual, it's just an email relationship. And
well, I'm not just saying it. That is the truth. And the implication that's anything more than that, after all, I've been to the football program, and the fact that my wife is housebound.
All right, okay, but let me read to you. Are you aware of that the mother has a copy of what was on you were writing in the chat room with these girls?
I'm aware of what I wrote in the chat room. I've got nothing. There's nothing that I'm ashamed of. There's nothing I'm ashamed of.
Well, I have a copy of it. Do you mind if I read it?
I don't care at all.
Well, the gist of it is that it was a chat room with teenage girls, right?
And I was in that chat room monitoring the activity on behalf of the parent-student board of Belmar Academy. And I was in no way, shape, or form trolling or anything like that, because I know where you're going with this, okay? And I want to tell you something right now. What I meant to this program...
All right, no. I simply want to just read this. The girls were talking about training bras.
That's correct, yeah.
And one of them said that her brother pulled the strap on her training bra, and it snapped, and it hurt. And you respond...
I told her that it doesn't hurt. I used to do it to my sister.
Well, hold on. You write... I know what you're talking about. I used to do that to my sister when I was a kid, and it doesn't hurt at all. I can show you in the locker room.
That's correct, yeah.
You're offering to snap the girl's bra in the locker room?
The locker room that happens to be in the Dozier Athletic Center. Okay, that's number one. And number two, are you trying to say now that I'm trying to get my cheap thrills? I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Well, what do you mean? You're actually going to show the girl how to say...
I was just having conversation with the girls is all I was doing. I'm not going to have... First of all, girls are not allowed in the boys' locker room, nor are male teachers. See, you got me so flustered. Man, I want to hurt somebody now, you know. And the other thing, my attorney told me not to go on these talk shows because what you people do is you twist it.
Sir, I'm reading your own words back to you, okay?
Well, male... members of the faculty are not allowed into the locker rooms.
All right, of the girls.
That is correct.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Marcia, go ahead, Marcia.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd just like to say to the coach, clearly you have meant a lot to this athletic program. Clearly you have a wonderful, accomplished career as a professional.
Thank you.
And you've done a lot of wonderful things. I don't think, though, that that's what anyone is talking about. What I want to say is that I suggest that you really reconsider this relationship, email relationship. I'm not suggesting that you've said anything or done anything wrong.
Thank you very much.
I'm suggesting that you reconsider it, and the reason is that you've explained that you have, you know, a horrible situation at home with your wife. I'm sure we're all sympathetic to it,
but it
really sounds as though there's a lot more of, you have a lot more of your emotional investment in a relationship with this 15-year-old.
Well,
maybe,
I'd like to, can you
tell me what? And I'm going to suggest to you that that's what's inappropriate. She is only 15, and she may seem very mature, but she is only 15, and there's no way that she can relate to the type of a situation that a grown man would have with a very sickly wife and the needs that you may have,
Marcia,
even just for a friend. Let me
Amanda,
just finish my
comment. Amanda knows whole worlds that I've barely touched. And
what if it's 15 and you're how old?
I'm 49.
She knows Go ahead.
I think that's inappropriate. I really think that perhaps...
She's wise beyond her years.
That doesn't matter, though. She has never experienced. She may be very, very bright. I don't doubt that.
There's an innocence that she has.
And again, sir, I am not even suggesting that anything, you know, terrible happened. But I'm saying that from what I hear you saying, you have a lot of pain around what's happening with your wife. But I think that needs to be handled in another forum. Can I just finish what I'm saying?
I can't call her my wife. Some raving thing.
I just think that it needs to be handled in another environment with adults, not with a 15-year-old who has no idea what this might be about.
Thank you.
That's what I think puts you at risk.
Right, but I just want to say, she knows whole worlds that I haven't even touched, and there's an innocence about her that you just don't get from these, these old, simple baggage.
All right, Marcia, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-86. What do you mean from some old bag?
The women today, they just... crying and complaining about something. And here's a young lady who's a break from the insanity of having to listen to the chains pounding on the door upstairs and the clanging of metal. And I can tell you...
Boy, I tell you, you really need to have your wife in a hospital.
I understand that, Mr. Andrew, but hey, excuse me. Maybe you're a millionaire, but I'm not. And
sir, the insurance will take care of something as severe as that. Here is Kathy on the Phil Hendry Show. Kathy, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Hi. I'm just outraged. I'm sitting here at the high school right now waiting for my 16-year-old daughter. I understand, and...
Does she get on any of these chat rooms, ma'am?
Yes, she does.
All right.
But they're not with... They're with friends,
yeah.
People that she knows. Not with older men or women.
Well, I was monitoring on behalf of the parent-teacher board at our school. And that's all it was. It's just they're talking about snapping bra straps, and I said, hey, you know, when I was a kid, I used to do that, look up a dress or some kind of silly thing like that. It's no big deal.
Excuse me. You shouldn't... I'm so outraged. Out of respect for you, you've had a lot of accomplishments.
Thank you.
I feel sorry for you with your wife's situation.
I appreciate
that. But really,
that.
Frankly, it has nothing to do with your relationship with this girl. If it were me, my daughter's turning 17 in a few months, I still would not want you to contact her because it's inappropriate. When she's 18... She can do whatever she wants. I will have no control over that.
You said your daughter's 16, ma'am?
She's 16, going on 17.
Oh, yeah? So she gets on these chat rooms and everything, huh?
Yes.
Kathy,
but if
have
I
you
knew...
ever had to push food under a door for someone you love?
Okay, now you keep talking about your
I
wife.
I want to know, have you ever had to push food under a door for someone you...
Your wife has nothing to do with this now, Mr. Dozier.
Right.
With fairness, we're trying to talk...
okay, so neither one of you...
You talk about...
I just want to know, have you ever had to slide a metal tray under a door?
No, and you shouldn't have to. She needs help.
She needs
and
to
you,
go to a hospital.
You need to help her.
I can't get into the... Who's going to go in there and throw
you
a net on her?
You call somebody to come and help her.
Well,
you're not doing anything to help her, and you're reaching out to a 15-year-old girl who has a sympathetic ear to you. There are other people that can do that, too.
You know how these girls are. Now, I will say something, and I think you're a wonderful mother, but how do you know that what's going on with you right now isn't a little bit of jealousy?
What?
Over the are you jealous of maybe your daughter getting on a chat room and hooking up?
I can do that, too,
what?
But with adults. It's friendship, but it's a friendship on the same age level. You need help. You're having problems.
Well...
No, I'm not saying, you know, I know you're having personal problems with your wife, situation at home. You have all these things, that accomplishments and things, which is great, but you need to share them with people your own age.
Shut up.
I'm sorry?
Nothing. I was...
Who were you telling to shut up?
I was actually telling my wife to shut up.
You shouldn't even have to talk to her. Like, you have no...
Banging on the door.
Now, you ask for respect for yourself. You need respect for other people.
Hold on.
Including your wife. You're
Mr.
not Dozier, helping her.
If you have to deal with something.
Hold on for a minute.
I told you to shut your mouth.
Oh, my God. He needs help.
I want to just say to you, Kathy, if your daughter is 16 and she's in these chat rooms, be careful because there are some pervs out there that want to, you know,
like
touch her.
You that don't you're not respecting her parents, her mother.
Mr. Henry, if you could hold on for just a minute.
Maybe you need
Mr.
to take
Henry,
care of...
Shut your mouth up.
Mr. Henry, if I were you, please get someone to his address and help her, because he's not going to.
I got to get a bib for her now. I don't know what's going on up there, but I think
someone needs to help
if you're
her
jealous of your daughter, I bet she's young and firm and one of those freaking nature girls.
Me?
Well, if...
listen to the way you're talking.
Yeah, listen to how you're talking.
No, I'm just...
You scare me, frankly.
Sir, or ma'am, I mean... That's,
You have no business in these chat rooms. It's scary the way you're talking and the way you're being derogatory to other people, to women. It's scary. You need help, and your wife certainly needs help. I hope someone calls someone to help her.
I've been taking care of my wife the best way I know how. The best thing for my wife
is iron bars
on that window.
See, just listen to you talk.
See, do you hear what you're saying? That's not compassion.
You don't need compassion with what's living upstairs.
I hope the right people are listening to this show.
And if you've got a daughter, and I say this with all due respect, Kathy's one of them, I guess you call it kind of freaking nature girls. She, you know, she's
Excuse
big up top.
Me?
And, well, if she's big up top.
Wait a minute, what?
All right. You deal with your wife and.
Well, I'm not done telling. I just wanted to ask the lady if.
I don't bring my juice.
Get out of here with this, will you?
No, I gotta.
Eat your oatmeal and shut up.
That thing upstairs, I'm telling you. I'll tell you right now, I don't need a hospital for it. I don't need an ambulance for it. And I don't need some nurse for it. I need a gun. I gotta go up and kill it. I spent 7 years, Mr. Henry, 7 years trying to get through to her, and now I'm gonna spend the next 7 years trying to keep her locked up.
I'm coming to get you now. Burn my juice.
Your juice.
Buddy, you got problems.
Burn, change the channel.
No more American Idol.
All right, Mr. Henry, I...
Get out of here, you and your freaked-out wife. What's he got, Linda Blair living up there? Good God. Have you got a freak-of-nature daughter who's big up top? And this is a guy that's in a chat room. Ladies and gentlemen, the Phil Henry Show advises all of you parents out there, monitor what's going on in the chat rooms today. I did. I'll tell you the story about it. I walked in on my daughter. She actually asked me to get involved in an instant messaging contretemps that she was involved in with two other girls. So she let me read it, and then I got online as the adult. All right, 1-800-449-8686.
Vernon, where's my dolly?
The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio speed trap. The Phil Henry Show is back.
I'm going to give away a CD in just a second. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's a rare day indeed when I give away CDs, Phil Henry Show CDs, because the money that is raised from the sale of them goes to my friend's place, which is a charity. It's a not-for-profit organization, and I buy the CD. Any CD that I own of the Phil Henry Show Best of stuff is purchased by me. And even if people are calling me, they could be calling me from the White House. I'd say to them, you gotta ante up, man, because the money that we make goes to these guys. Okay, but we're gonna give away a CD because I had this idea. I wanted to see if anybody picked up on something during the last bit that we just did, the last hour we just did. 1-800-449-8686, and we'll do that in a moment. But I want to mention to you that coming up tonight on our program, we're going to have a visit from Jeff Dowder with a new feature called Wouldn't It Be Funny? Dot, dot, dot. He's always got these ideas for bits. I don't know why you even entertain them, bud.
Hey, he's a nice guy. He's always calling me about idea of bits.
Well, you should... Don't let him bug you too much. We also have Dean Wheeler coming up tonight. He is a Northern California alternative healing specialist, expert, freak, something like that. And Darren Brown, the program director of C93 South Dakota, one of our affiliates in South Dakota, will be on to talk with us about some program corrections he'd like to see us make. And we're always very, very open to suggestions from our affiliates. Now, here is the idea. Oh, by the way, we have a flashback request I'm going to play tonight called Guns in the Household. You're going to want to hear this. All right, now here it is. In the last bit, I don't know if anybody's going to really remember, but in the last hour we did with Vernon Dozier, there were two movie lines used as bits of dialogue that Vernon was saying, bits of speech that he was making. Two movie lines. He actually, in referencing his wife, used two lines from two huge classic movies. If you know what those movies were, and can call me within the next 3 minutes, and you are the first person to tell me, maybe we'll give you a CD. No, we'll give you a CD. All right? And our number is 1-800-449-8686. I always am interested to see who wins. How does a guy get through on something like this? So these guys with like 9 phones, and they're dialing from 9 phones. You ever seen those news pieces they've done on guys that, not too long ago, there were people who lived off of winnings from radio stations. And you probably hear now radio stations saying, and you must not have been a winner in the last 30 days, something like that, because there were dudes out there who had like 15 phone lines in their house, and they were just calling all the radio stations every time there was a contest. And basically they were living off of getting free cars, free washing machines, a house, whatever. All right, so in the last bit we did with Vernon Dozier, he uses, in describing his wife, two lines from two classic movies. If you know what they are, we'll give you a CD. The number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and the rest of you guys are just going to have to buy one. Which is, like I say, that's what I do too, okay? Tonight we do have a flashback request from Days of Yore. It's called Guns in the Household. And what, bud?
Can I play?
Can you play what?
I want to be able to guess the movie line of the movies.
You can't play. You're an employee of the show.
Well, why not?
Because you're an employee of the show.
So?
So,
do I know the answer? You didn't give me the answer or anything.
No, I didn't give you the answer. It was something that I just thought of.
So why can't I play?
Because you're the employee of this freaking show, man. And that's what they always say. Employees of such and such are not eligible.
Well, just because they say it, why can't you be an original thinker and let me do it anyway?
Because maybe I don't want to give you a CD.
So that's it. You don't like me no more.
Oh, come on, bud.
You don't like me anymore.
I like you, man.
No, you don't.
I do.
No.
Come here. What's the matter?
I want to be held.
You want to be held.
What are you yelling at me?
Come here.
Ew, B.O.
Get out of here.
Okay, can I guess?
What? Go ahead, guess.
Apollo 13 and Forrest Gump.
No, wrong. Apollo 13 and Forrest Gump. No, wrong. And don't you ever ask me to hug you and then say I got B.O. All right, so in the last bit with Vernon Dozier, I don't know if anybody's going to pick up on it. If nobody gets it by the top of the hour, or should we keep doing this throughout the whole show? No, man. Till the top of the hour, okay. In the last bit we did with Vernon Dozier, he used two lines from two movies. And if we don't get a winner, then I'll tell you after the top of the hour, after our break, I'll tell you the answer, okay? 1-800-449-8686. You've got 30 seconds, and then Pelton's got to go downstairs and have a cigarette. So make it snappy. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
This hour we have Jeff Dowder with a bit called Wouldn't It Be Funny, and we will also have a request flashback called Guns in the Household, and next hour Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Alternative Holistic Chiropractic Healing Health Wheat Bread Center, something I had it written down somewhere, and I think I used it to wipe something up. Right now, though, we wanted to give you the answer to the question that we had last hour. In the last hour's bit where we talked with Vernon Dozier about his wife and the 15-year-old girl he was on the chat room line with, two lines were used by Mr. Dozier in that bit. Two lines from two classic films. And to tell you the answer, because nobody got the answer, you had to be listening pretty hard. Or maybe you just had to be listening. Maybe nobody was listening, bud. What do you think?
That's very likely.
Thank you very much for that confidential... That's really...
Well, I mean, do you want an honest answer?
Yeah, but you don't have to act like a jackass.
Excuse me.
Sorry, yeah, you deserve that. I'm sorry, bud.
Thank you.
But I ain't holding you. Anyway, I have on the line now, actually, his name isn't Vernon Dozier, and it's like to tell the truth. What is your name, sir?
Yeah, Phil. My name is Bill Powell.
And what do you do for a living?
Phil, I'm a professional actor and comedian, and it's always a great time being on your program pretending I'm... Vernon Dozier.
And where, just so people know, where are you performing right now?
Phil, I'm in a sketch comedy right now over the Groundlings on Melrose in Hollywood called Stop Clowning Around. And I can also be seen on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, as well as on appearing in a sitcom this coming fall on CBS called Listen Up.
So, Bill, thank you very much for taking part in that. And what is the answer to the question?
The two lines that were used in the bit were from The Exorcist and from Halloween.
The Exorcist and Halloween, and the Exorcist line was what?
The Exorcist line was basically, you show me Reagan's double, I say you show me my wife's double, the same hair, the same skin, and I can tell you which one was my wife. And I'm telling you right now, that thing upstairs isn't my wife. That's basically taken from The Exorcist. And then the line from Halloween was, I spent 7 years trying to get through to him, and I spent the next 7 years trying to keep him locked up. That's from the movie Halloween, as spoken by one of my favorite actors, Donald Pleasence, and I used that in there. The character, you know, Vernon Dozier character used it.
All right, Bill, thank you very much for taking part in our little bit tonight, and it's always fun having you on and making jackasses out of the callers, but it is for the entertainment for the people.
Well, I always enjoy it, Phil. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So there you go. Those the answer was Halloween and The Exorcist. What's wrong, bud? Are you all right?
I'm scared.
Why are you scared now?
What do you mean that guy's name is Bill Powell? That's you doing the voice. Well, you're the one that does the voice of the characters.
What do you got to go and tell everybody, man? I'm trying to do... I was a little...
I don't understand. What were you trying to do?
Don't whisper. We're on the air now.
What was the point?
It's just a thing I was doing, man.
But you did the voice of Vernon Dozier.
Yes, I did the voice of Vernon Dozier. Okay.
Well, who's Bill Powell?
It's just another name I made up.
Man, I'm totally confused now.
Listen to me, bud. Yes, I did the voice of Vernon Dozier. Then I thought I'd come on and mess with the audience a little bit more and say that he's actually a guy named Bill Powell who's at the Groundling is on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Mr. Hall's going to want to talk to you.
Oh, great. What did you do?
I had to call him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, David.
What are you talking about?
Look.
The guy you just talked, that was you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was me.
Then what are you saying it's Bill Powell for?
It was a thing I was doing, man.
A thing you were doing? The only thing you're doing shows up as Bud's Babe of the Week.
That's pretty funny.
What do you mean a thing you were doing?
I was just messing with the audience's head, and you two guys come on and blow the whole thing.
Well, excuse me. Nobody emailed me on your artistic intent tonight. So there's no Bill Powell.
No, there ain't no Bill Powell.
And you did the voice of that guy, Vernon.
Yes, of course I did.
Okay, you scared Bud. And I told you once, and I'll tell you again, don't ever scare a retard. Because when they go wild on you, friend, you better just stand back.
Yeah, don't ever scare a retard. I'll go wild on you.
I understand. Hey, Bud, why do you laugh at Mr. Hall if you know it's me doing his voice?
Okay, now I gotta go to the bathroom.
Best of the Phil Henry Show CD is gonna be shipping on December the 9th. That's tomorrow. Order yours online or call 1-877-616-7445. That's, again, that number is 877-616-7445 to get your Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD. The name of the CD, of course, is Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. Logan, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Logan?
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Henry.
This is Logan, right? Because how old are you, pal?
I'm 8.
You're 8?
Yes, sir. My grandpa wanted me to call you and to tell you that Hanukkah started yesterday, and the people who do Hanukkah killed Jesus.
Your grandpa wanted you to say that.
Yeah, and my grandpa, he says that Pearl Harbor got bombed yesterday, and we're stupid for trusting the shifty Japs. And my grandpa says that Santa won't come this year because my daddy's too lazy to get a job.
Okay, so your grandpa...
Yeah, and my grandpa says that the Santa Claus at the mall will give me $1 million and free candy if I tinkle on his lap.
This is what your grandpa says.
Yeah, and my grandpa also says that he'll take my flu shot so the needle won't hurt me, and then I can visit grandma in heaven.
Okay, Logan, anything else your grandpa want to say?
Is there anything else, Grandpa?
No, that's it.
Okay, that's it.
Okay, Logan, maybe sometime your grandpa can get on the phone.
He said maybe sometime you can get on the phone.
I don't want to get on with that queer.
He said...
I heard what he said. My grandpa says today is Hanukkah, and the people who do Hanukkah killed baby Jesus. Well, thank your grandfather, Mr. Gibson, for calling. And anyway, I bet you that's how Mel Gibson was raised. What the hell? And look at all the great movies he's made. Maybe there's something to that. 1-800-449-8686. There's Aphrodite Jones on Fox News. If you hurry and catch her, you can see a little bit of a kind of a sideburn on her and a mustache. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
In a moment, we got a by request flashback called Guns in the Household. But first, I want to direct your attention to some photographs that were sent to me by a listener. Photographs that are so shocking in nature, so graphic, that they could not be shown on television, would not be shown on television, and you will not hence see them in the mainstream media. But, ladies and gentlemen, we have posted them on our homepage. They are on our homepage at www.philhenryshow.com. And if you got the stomach for it, and it's a little bit of a departure for me, but if you have the stomach for it, log on to www.philhenryshow.com and look at the pictures we have on our homepage. They are utterly graphic in nature, and you will not see these anywhere. No magazine, no television show. Nowhere, except on our homepage right now. Check it out. And while you're doing that, let's listen to a flashback request now. And this is from Joel Herman, who writes, "Dear Phil, Lloyd Bonafide, my favorite character by far. I'd like to request him when he is telling how he leaves a loaded gun in his house while he is babysitting his 5-year-old grandson because it gives him an adrenaline rush. Love your show. Thanks, Joel Herman." Here it is, Joel, for you. Guns in the Household with Lloyd Bonafide.
I'm a 16-year veteran of the Korean War and the Marine Corps. I had 2 Purple Hearts and a Silver Star.
The Korean War only lasted 3 years, my friend.
You didn't listen. I said a 16-year veteran of the Marine Corps.
You said of the Korean War.
He said the Marine Corps.
I don't know what this fellow's name is.
My name is Lloyd Bonafide.
Okay, then why don't you just listen, Lloyd?
I'm listening, but I used...
Quit interrupting.
Never mind. Just let the man finish.
Everything you says about the guns, I have guns. I'm an avid gun man. I'm a shooter. I have 3 grown children.
What
four
rank
grandchildren.
Were, what rank were you in the in the in
what
in
difference
the,
is, what
do
difference
you call
does it?
It
make? What difference does it make? A Marine
is
a Marine.
I was a chief petty officer.
I don't care if you were a chief swabby. Why don't you just
see,
listen?
The Corps, Mr. Henry, they got a for the Navy.
I understand all about it. Let the man talk.
This man needs... Why don't you go to the veteran hospital? You need help, pal.
Oh, I got to go to the veteran's
you
hospital because I believe in the Constitution of keeping a gun around?
Well, then why don't you believe,
let this man...
Why don't you believe in a little courtesy and
yeah,
give me an opportunity to talk?
Very good point.
Okay? Why don't you extend a little courtesy?
I just feel I only have to listen if you outrank me.
Oh, come on, will you? Go ahead. I'm going to put him on hold. He's on hold. Go ahead, sir. He's on hold.
Everything this man has said,
yeah,
up until the point of owning guns, which is nice, it's a constitutional right.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that right.
Of course.
We all went to war. We used weapons for war, for protection of our country, of
yes,
other people's country, of other people's rights.
Very true.
When we come home and I got out, I became a very good and strong owner of guns.
Mm-hmm.
I have 3 children, grown,
mm-hmm,
four grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of my children were taught how to handle
a gun. All right, now I want to jump in.
Wait, hold on. Wait a second, hold on.
I want to jump in and say something right now.
Wait a minute, I thought you were on hold.
I fought my way out of hold. See, that's the kind of soldier. I could fight my way off of a hold button.
Now you're a soldier. You went from a sailor to a soldier.
Let me tell you something.
What do you mean you fought your way out of hold? I had you on hold.
And I fought my way out.
Well.
Hey, Mike, are you screwing around with me? Put the guy on hold, will you please?
Okay.
Now, go ahead.
Let me continue.
I fought my way out of hold.
Let me continue, please.
Yes.
All of my children were taught gun safety. They were taught, and I have had loaded guns in my house. I know where everyone's at.
Right.
They are under my attention, my wife's attention, and my grown children's attention.
Right.
My grandchildren were taken out to the range.
I got out of hold
they
again.
They were taught gun safety. They were taught intelligently.
When
he says that he put a unloaded gun up to his child's head, five years old,
right,
and pulled the trigger, he lost me. The man is sick.
That's insanity, and that's the kind
You're calling me insane? I just fought my way out of hold again.
Why don't he tell how he taught his child gun safety instead of gun fear?
Gun safety?
Yeah, gun safety, gun handling.
We clean the weapon with a bullet in the chamber.
Well,
you call that gun safety?
Because you're supposed to.
Number one, I'm going to tell you this. I don't believe you were in this. I don't believe you were in any military service.
How dare you?
I don't believe that you were in any military service. I don't believe that you were in Korea. And I don't believe that you are a sane
person. I was honorably discharged at San Diego, California.
I think that you need help.
I was honorably discharged.
You need help. I don't care if you got the Congressional Medal of Honor. You need help.
I think putting a loaded...
I don't put a loaded gun.
I'll tell you.
My daddy put a gun to my head. I did it to my son, and he does it to his.
Well, then your whole family is bonkers.
Is nuts, okay?
You got that right.
And what do you think about me fighting my way out of the hold button?
Well, I don't think much of you fighting anything.
Okay. Thank you very much. You made a very good point, sir.
Yeah. I fought my way off.
I want to talk to the talk show.
Yeah, I'm right here, sir.
I appreciate the fact that you've taken my call.
I appreciate your comments.
And I guarantee you that all gun owners in this country do not feel like this man does. All gun owners in this country do not teach in gun safety.
Put me on hold one more time and see me
all
fight my way
out. All people in this country don't
button.
Put fear into their grandchildren.
I'm putting them on hold right now. Go ahead,
All gun owners in this country are sane people. The people that get a hold of guns is because of people like this guy.
You're absolutely right. I agree.
And I thank you for the
Thank you very much, sir, for your call. That is a request from Joel Herman, Guns in the Household. Thanks a lot, Joel. You want to request something? PHS at PhilHenryShow.com. And remember, December 23rd is an all-request show. We're going to do it. As an annual thing, if we're around that long, because you never know what can happen in life. You can step out in front of a bus, either on purpose or by accident. But we will do an annual, I think it's kind of a cool idea, don't you, Chris? We find that people like to hear these old bits, so in any event, on the 23rd, it'll be an all-request show. On that day, we will only take phone calls, but daily, of course, we do take email requests. And I just got one from Britain, Great Britain, a listener who listened to us in the States, and is now living in Great Britain and, is living there on business, etc. So he streams us online, and he said, dude, I can't call on the 23rd. And I wrote back, well, that's cool, because you can just, email me anytime, man. I'll play your request. Speaking of emails, I got one from a guy who said, hey, I logged on to www, my friend's place, and it directed me to some car sale. Well, that ain't the right email address. It's www.homelessyouth.org, doofus. Just like that guy I said, I can't find anywhere on your website where to order the CD. Yeah, you're right. It's really hard to find, except for that big freaking banner that's sitting right there as soon as you hit the homepage. It's me there with the two things, and I'm just... Okay, 1-800, I'm kidding around. I know you guys you mean well, and we love you and all of that bull crap. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we will have Jeff Dotter with Wouldn't It Be Funny, Dean Wheeler from the Northern California something or other Institute will be talking with us about Christmas. and the separation of church and state, and that ought to be interesting. And also Darren Brown will be on to talk with us about little adjustments he'd like to see made in our show. He's a program director of one of our affiliates at C93 in South Dakota. What is the town that he's in? Pierre, South Dakota. And so we'll be talking with him as well. Also, just wanted to update you. For some reason, maybe it's because she's becoming a young lady, but and I don't mean what I mean by that is I'm spending a lot of time with my daughter because she seems to want to spend a lot of time hanging out with me, and I think there's something. You know, it's not just me; it's my wife too. You know, they kind of glum onto you as they begin to emerge into adulthood. It's like they know they're leaving their childhood behind, so they really want to sort of spend more time with you. In any event, she's what, like I told you about that whole thing playing Jenga, right? Now her new kick is, and I don't know where this is coming from, although I think she's probably got a future in business. She's got a real thing for watching these product channels. These channels that have vinyl cleaner. That guy, that limey that used to set cars on fire and then, you know, spray that stuff. The dudes with the chef shows, pans, pots, whatever. Now, she says to me the other day, you got to see this. This is really neat. And it's a little blender called the Magic Bullet. And it's a, like a miniature blender. You can make one smoothie or you can make one little thing of Alfredo sauce or something. And I said, that's really great. No, really, it's really neat. It's really neat. Come on. Can we buy it? Huh? Can we buy it? What are you talking about, man? It's got 58 attachments. Where are we going to keep it? We'll find a place. I mean, do you have a kitchen where there's, like, blender blades all over the place? And I'm always buying stuff like barbecue baskets. I'm the worst. Hey, look at this, honey. We can throw shrimp and stuff. You know, and the next thing you know, you got no... You don't know where to keep it. Your brother-in-law has the, and he lives by it? He lives by it, really? Well, sure enough, I said, okay, I'll get on line. Boy, do those guys try to sell you the world, man. You get on the line with those guys when you finally call them up, and for another $5, sir, would you like to have our instant, our instant gravy maker? No, I just want to have the TV offer. Well, for another $10, you can have a TV offer, and no, just give me the TV. Like a minute fending off this cat till finally I ordered this Magic Bullet, and it came today. So I called the house just to talk to my wife, and my daughter answered. She's like, guess what I'm doing? What? I'm making a smoothie with the Magic Bullet. I go, all right. So I got to go home, and maybe I'll make myself a smoothie if I can find all the pieces of this thing. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Jeff Dowder will join us with Wouldn't It Be Funny? And next hour it is Dean Wheeler on the Phil Henry Show. And we had somebody wanted to talk about the Magic Bullet. Now, you talked with the doc. Okay. This little girl named Judy is going to join us. And Judy's 5, and she wants to talk about some of the stuff that she orders off of TV. And we want to talk with Judy, but I'm told that this is not a crank call. Judy is 5, and she apparently has the voice of a 50-year-old man. So I want to let my audience know, and Chris already spoke with her mother. Is this Judy? Judy, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
How are you, honey?
I'm great.
And you wanted to talk to me about... How old are you, Judy?
I'm 5 last month. I just turned 5 last month.
You're 5 years old?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, Judy, what did you want to talk to me about?
I heard you talking about stuff that your daughter bought on the TV set, and I wanted to tell you I bought a Barbie doll on the TV set one time, but my brother painted nipples on the...
Okay, can we just, for a second, if we could, get with her mother and tell her that the little girl needs to... Be careful with what she talks about, okay? I know she's very young. If you just joined me, this child wanted to talk with me, but her name's Judy. She suffers from a rare condition. She has a voice That sounds very much like a very mature, adult, middle-aged man. But she's actually female and Judy?
Yeah?
Okay, honey, don't talk about what your brother did with the Barbie doll. Just, and what else, hon?
Well, another thing I bought was a hair remover. And I said, hey, Mom, as long as you trim it down...
Okay, that's going to be, difficult for us to deal with some of that material as kids. Judy, honey.
Yes, sir?
Be careful with what you talk about.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Now, go ahead. What else did you buy on TV?
Well, I bought a big wheel on television, but the wheel fell off and hit my underwear spot and...
All right, so that'll have to just be something for another day. Judy Horak, 5-year-old, that sounds like she's 50. Judy, honey?
Yes, sir?
I gotta not talk with you anymore.
Okay, but can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
About the buoy.
Okay. Thanks. Another stellar job there screening that call, bud.
What do you want from me? I'm making $5.41 an hour.
$5.41, huh? Why is it $5.41?
Because that's what it says on my check after the government takes it out.
Well, it's true. Yeah, you're taking home five. Never mind what you're taking home. You'd screen that freaking call. What do you mean she's 5 and she's got the voice of a 50-year-old?
That's what she said.
Oh, well, then she must be telling the truth. God.
Yeah, you sound just like Froggy Frogmeister with that voice. You have to tell the truth.
I happen to be getting over a cold. All right, I want to get...
Hey, Mr. Henry!
I want to get on the line now, Jeff Dowder. I'm going to punch you right in the face. Get on the line now, Jeff Dowder, who joins us from Temple City, California. Jeff is going to be talking with us about a new feature that he is inaugurating on our show. It's called Wouldn't It Be Funny If? And it's kind of an interesting thing to look at life from the standpoint of, oh, I don't know, maybe things we'd like to see. Remember, Jeff?
How you doing, Mr. Henry? It's really great to be on your program. I got to tell you, you're really dealing with some psychic cases tonight, that's for sure.
It reminds me, the idea of Wouldn't It Be Funny reminds me of Mad Magazine scenes we'd like to see.
Absolutely. That's totally what it's about. And that's kind of where I got the idea for it, although technically it is my idea. And I just wanted to say that, but...
Where are you at a batting cage?
Yeah, I'm just, thought I'd take a few cuts on my way home. I'm going to get in the cage, take a few cuts. But should I go?
Yeah. What do you mean, should you go?
Well, I want to start the thing called Wouldn't It Be Funny If?
Well, I thought we could just converse about it instead of, what do you mean, should you? You mean it's like a, what do you want, music or something?
Well, that'd be nice.
Well, no, I don't have any music, but go ahead.
Okay, hold on. Give me a sip of water, man.
Mr. Dowder, I don't have a lot of time.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Dowder. Welcome to Wouldn't It Be Funny If? This is a feature on the Phil Henry Show that talks about it'd be really funny if something happened that probably isn't going to happen, but it would be cool as hell if it did happen. Wouldn't it be funny if somebody replaced Scott Peterson's mom's oxygen tank with a helium tank, so when she started begging for mercy, she's all... and she's all freaked out, and everybody's going, oh, that's messed up. You know, what happened to her voice? It would be kind of funny, though, if they, Mr. Henry. Huh, Mr. Henry? Don't you think it'd be funny?
Well, look, wouldn't it be funny if someone replaced Scott Peterson's mother's oxygen tank with a tank of helium? First of all, she suffers from emphysema.
Well, I don't know nothing about that. I'm just, I'm just taking cuts at a batting cage. But I'm trying to say, wouldn't it be funny if somebody... Okay, check this out. Wouldn't it be funny... if Donald Rumsfeld was talking to the soldiers and his toupee flew off his head and landed on a scorpion's head, like out in the desert?
Yeah.
So now there's a scorpion with a wig on, just walking around.
You mean if Rumsfeld...
Yeah, Rumsfeld was over out in Egypt or wherever they are, and he was talking to the troops, and they were all crying about something. I don't know what they're crying about, but anyway, so Rumsfeld's there, and a big desert wind kicks up, okay, like one of them sandstorms that you see in Lawrence of Saudi Arabia or something, and his toupee flies off and lands on the head of, like, a prairie dog. So this prairie dog's walking around. He's got, like, an Elvis do. That'd be funnier than hell. Tell me that wouldn't be funny.
That would be very funny, yeah. You're right.
Okay, so...
But the idea of replacing Scott Peterson's mother's oxygen tank with a helium tank probably is a little hard on...
Oh, give me a break, man. She gave birth to a baby that cuts people up. What's that about?
No, okay. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, here's another one. Wouldn't it be funny for those all the listeners that are out there right now, imagine this. Wouldn't it be funny if the microphone Phil Henry was talking, and we could see this happen. Wouldn't it be funny if the microphone Phil Henry was talking?
Must be pretty funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Hold on. Wouldn't it be funny if the microphone Phil Henry was talking into right now was a cucumber?
What are you laughing at?
Pretty funny.
Isn't that funny, bud?
Yeah, it's really funny.
What's funny about that?
Can you imagine, man? People are standing there looking at you and you're talking to a cucumber. Pretty sick, if you ask me.
Oh, so it's got to have some sexual implication. Is that it?
Well,
what if it's a banana?
Yeah, what if it's a banana?
What if I was talking into a microphone that was actually a banana?
Man, that's...
It would be so funny, Mr. Henry.
What's funny about me talking into a banana?
You're trying to tell me that you don't think it'd be funny if you're talking to a nanner.
No, man, I don't think it'd be funny if I was talking into a nanner. A nanner.
Yeah, hey, here's another one. Excuse me, man, I got the same cold you got.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if Bud came up behind you with a gorilla mask on and scared you so bad you lost your mud?
Okay, that bit sucks, Bud. That another one you put on the air?
I think it's fantastic stuff. Really quality, grade-A material, Mr. Henry. You know, it should really be a little more self-effacing. You know it'd be really funny? What if when you're talking into the nanner, you peeled it off and ate it?
What do you mean I got to be more self-effacing?
You should have a little bit more ability to laugh at yourself.
I think I've got a very good,
No, you don't. You really don't. It's just something I've been wanting to tell you.
Well, thank you. Yes, David?
Wouldn't it be funny if I fired you for this bad bit you're doing? Wouldn't that be funny?
Look, you said...
No, wouldn't it be funny? I'm just asking you. Wouldn't that be a riot, a laugh riot, if I fired you for this lousy piece of material you're doing right now? Ain't that funny?
I thought the material was cleared with you.
I never saw this. I'm so upset, I'm squeaking like a chick.
You sure are, man. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler coming up.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I understand, David.
So be nice to the guy.
I understand he's the program director for one of our stations.
I want you to pay more attention to the affiliates. And this is this gentleman is a very nice guy. Let me put him on the line here. Darren?
Yeah, hi, it was Darren Brown. How you doing, no deal?
Great, Darren. This is Phil Henry. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? This is Darren Brown here, 293 in Pierre, South Dakota.
Remember, Phil, be nice to the guy.
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown. How are you?
I'm doing just great, Phil. You know, we carry your show here in Pierre, South Dakota. Just love the show. Just love everything about it. Talking you a little bit about some of the things that we'd like to do with the radio show as it pertains to your area here in Pierce, South Dakota. You know, we are the 150th market in the country. And even though we're not the biggest market, hey, I'll tell you what, you come on up here and you get yourself a wonderful chopped beef sandwich and come out and see the big ball of yarn. People come out from all around.
Okay, sir. My Vice President of Syndication, Mr. Hall, said that you had some suggestions.
Oh, Phil, you know, we really do have some suggestions for your program right now here in South Dakota. I don't know whether or not you know this or not, Phil, but here in South Dakota, we're not allowed to say happy, Merry Christmas anymore. What we'd like to do, Phil, is make it out to say Merry Christmas. Hey, have a happy holiday. You know, they're right out to Phil every show. Hey, have a happy holiday. Go say Merry Christmas.
You don't want me to say Merry Christmas?
No.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure, Phil, you can ask a question here. They're about here in Pierce, South Dakota. Love to answer any question you've got.
Why can't I say Merry Christmas?
Well, you know, Phil, there's about 2% of the people here in South Dakota that are Christmas-type people, and they don't want to hear how Merry Christmas, all that kind of religious stuff, Phil. Why confuse people? Why pollute the airwaves? A lot of religious stuff. Why did you say Happy Holiday? I wouldn't want to piss off people calling me up in front of me with my job because I don't lose my job.
You don't want to lose your what?
I don't want to lose my job.
You don't want to lose your job?
Right.
You're going to lose your job if I say Merry Christmas?
Hey, here's what I'd like you to say, Phil, if you could do this. We're going to do a big billboard campaign behind this. It would be fantastic if you could do this. It would be just fantastic, Phil, if you could do this. Say, I had a little green tea, and I'm cleansing right now. A little colonic cleaner. I hope you don't lie.
No, no, that's okay. You can belch on my show anytime, sir.
Good answer. Okay, Phil, here's what I'd like you to do. Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us here at C-93 at Pierre. Can you do that?
So you don't want me to say Merry Christmas?
No, please don't say Merry Christmas, because Merry Christmas is religion. We don't have a separation of church and state. Don't offend all the people out of here in Sphere, South Dakota, who don't want to hear it.
I'd have a happy C-93 holiday.
You're going to do a little bit more feeling, Phil. Hey, have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us here at C-93, Pierce, South Dakota. C-93, the news talk leader, Pierre, and all of the lower tri-belt area. Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us here at C-93, Pierre, and all the lower tri-belt area.
Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us here at C-93 Pierre and the lower tri-belt area.
If you do a little bit more, and with a fully dressed Santa Claus, a rabbi, and a Muslim all at the same time, good thing if you could use the same fake beard for all of them.
What's going on with this guy?
Just hold on, bud. I'll talk to him. You want me to dress up as...
You could dress up as Santa Claus, a rabbi, and a Muslim, and put on a beard, Phil, and you could use the same beard for all three characters. And that way, we're not going to offend anybody who's got a religious bent, okay? Have a happy C-93 holiday for these three pairs of gang wagon.
I don't even know what he said, man.
This guy is really scaring me a lot.
Just take it easy, bud. Okay, are you ready?
Go ahead.
Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us here at C-93 in Pierre and the lower tri-belt area.
No, it's the bottom tri-belt area.
I thought you said lower.
No, the bottom.
Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us here in Pierre, South Dakota, and the lower...
No, it's the bottom half of the Tri-Belt sector.
Bottom half of the Tri-Belt sector. Is this...
That's the area up here, the area of South Dakota where we live.
Okay.
You got to be very local. Feels like the Los Angeles Basin, you know, or you say everybody in South Florida, or you say everybody here in the Southland, in Atlanta, or everybody in the Rocky Mountains. You're really the bottom half of the Tri-Belt sector.
The bottom half of the Tri-Belt sector. That's where Pierre, South Dakota is.
That's right.
Have a happy C-93.
Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us at C-93 Pierre and the bottom half of the lower Tri-Belt sector.
This guy is really pissing me off.
Bud, keep out of it. Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us at C-93 and Pierre and the bottom half. I'm sorry.
Look, Phil doesn't make fun of me, okay? I'm Darren Brown, and I'm the program director of C-93. What are you doing? Affiliates here in South Dakota.
I'm not making fun of you, sir. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna kick some ass.
Bud, stay out of it.
I'm warming up my truck, and I could be in Pierre within 48 hours.
Say nothing, Phil?
Nothing, sir. You're not gonna warm up your truck. Okay. Have a happy C-93 holiday from all of us at C-93 in Pierre and the bottom half of the lower Tri-Belt sector.
No. It's the bottom half of the lower section of the Tri-Belt.
Will you come on and tell me what it is? First, it's the bottom half of the lower Tri-Belt sector. Then it's the lower bottom half of the Tri-Belt sector. Then it's the lower Tri-Belt.
You know something? You can't get pissed off at me, Darren Brown, at C-93. I'll drop your show.
Yeah, you drop my show, man, like a whole lot of the stations to drop my show, okay? Like, they're still going to drop my show, and then I got other stations. What do I care?
Well, I tell you something, with an attitude like that, I don't see how you get as far as you can in this business. They're a little different from Darren Brown here at C-93. I'm going to move on up the charts. You know, if I'm going to remember a guy like you, got to treat me good. Got to kiss my ass.
I'm going to kick his ass.
No, hold on. Mr. Brown, I don't mind kissing your ass, as you put it, but I don't understand, and I don't want to do a picture of me dressed up as a Rabbi Santa Ali costume either, okay?
Well, I tell you, you got that fake beard?
I don't have a fake beard. Now, I'll try and do the promo one more time.
All right. Have a happy C93 holiday from all of us up here in South Dakota, C93, from the lower half of the Tri-Belt sector of the upper Gowanga-Gila Valley.
Oh, yeah, sure. The upper Gowanga-Gila Valley.
That's it. I'm going through the phone.
Wait a minute, Bud.
No, I'm going through the phone. I don't give a crap.
Bud, stay out of the phone.
I'm going through.
Did you say nothing, Phil?
Nothing, but if you see kind of a drooling, retarded guy, he's coming through the phone.
Why would he come through the phone to me? Give me my phone now, Phil. I'll change you. Hey, this is the Phil. You're killing Darren Brown at the program. I killed him, Phil.
Get out of that phone and get back in the studio.
I don't care.
Get out of the phone and get back in here. You just murdered a program director. You know what David Hall's going to say about this?
Hold on for a minute. I got to squeeze my way out of the phone.
There, I'm out. You idiot.
Right.
You murdered a... How come I can still hear the diner the guy's in?
Oh, I must have... I didn't hang the phone up.
Yeah, you should have hung the phone up, dude, before you came back through the phone. Nice going, bud. Now I'm up on a murder rap. Not you, me.
Why not me?
Because I'm responsible for everything you do. You can basically get away with murder. 1-800-449... the lower Gowanga-Gila Valley. I mean, what? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show.
I am joined this hour by Dean Wheeler. He's with the Northern Californians for an Alternative. And there's been an awful lot of discussion about the separation of church and state. A lot of people are, I suppose, concerned, Mr. Wheeler, that with the re-election of President Bush, the lines are going to blur. And I know that you're one of them.
Phil, that is correct. And first of all, let me thank you for having me on your program tonight. It's it really is appreciated, and we do appreciate the forum that you provide for us.
Why do you feel President Bush has blurred these lines?
There's no doubt, I think, Phil, in the minds of a lot of people that President Bush, his public discussion of religion, encourages a less of a severe treatment of the idea that one's religious beliefs should be kept clear of public property and even private property of individuals who may believe in an alternative way of thinking. And because of that, in my own personal life, and I'm speaking just now, Phil, as an individual American, I've spent so many years endeavoring to rid myself of what I really believed was a polluting influence of the Judeo-Christian ethic. And I've attempted to imbue myself, if you will, with a more Eastern, a much more holistic view. But it's tough to live that way when the American administration has no respect for your religious beliefs, only theirs.
You are a teacher of what you call alternative medicines. You are a self-professed believer in what you call it. Some people, I think, call it New Age thinking.
No, it's not New Age at all, Phil. What I believe is just in the fundamental mother-father concept of a spiritual Godhead, and that one is in harmony with the Godhead. It is an old way of viewing our universe, and it is one that is drawn from the Taoist teachings of Lao Tzu, as well as the sevenfold path of Buddhism. And all of the wonderful peace and the tranquility that I've achieved is constantly being assaulted and harassed by this flanking action of the Bush administration, encouraging people to push their religion into other people's lives. In point of fact, just the other, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we had Christmas carolers here, and these were children who are encouraged to go door to door and sing these religious songs. Now, I don't have a problem with children having a good time during the holiday season. I do have a problem with parents who encourage their children to push religion in this way.
Well, I mean, Christmas caroling. Come on, it's just, you know.
You may think it's innocent.
Well, it's a long standing tradition to, and kids going door to door Christmas caroling is so rare.
Well, it happened in our neighborhood, and I had just come back from a retreat in Novato for some 75 alternative healthcare professionals, and had really achieved the blithic state, as we call it, which is a state of tranquility, when my doorbell rang, and I went to the door, and there were these children singing, and I reacted, I think, in a way that people who don't want this Judeo-Christian ethic thrust down their throat reacted. I reacted by grabbing one of the children and pulling his pants down and spanking him.
In front of the other kids?
Yes.
Are you proud of that?
No, I am not proud of that, Phil, but I think we have to see where the real blame lies, and that's with the Bush administration. And,
oh, come on, Mr. Wheeler, the idea that you would grab a child and spank him. And
I'm not justifying the action, Phil, but I want the blame to be shared by the administration in Washington. That's very crucial for you and I to understand each other.
Do you find yourself guiltless for doing that? You grab a child. Were there parents there?
There were parents there, yes. And I told them at the time that they came on my private property, forced these children into singing these Judeo-Christian hymns, and all of my teachings and all of the things I tried to achieve went completely evaporated. And I grabbed that child by the ears, and I spanked him after pulling his pants to his knees.
Well, I've got to open our phone lines up for this discussion, although you've brought in an element that I find frankly appalling, that you would assault this child.
But I'm not blameless, Phil.
All right, so you say you're not blameless, but the Bush administration shares some of the blame.
They have to share some of the blame, given the fact that President Bush has pushed his Judeo-Christian ethic right up our throat.
1-800-449-8686 is our number. Mr. Dean Wheeler, sir, if that was my child that you had spanked, you have to understand, I would probably have reacted violently.
Well, I don't blame you, but please understand that if you're going to see my actions as something that you have to respond to with violence, then you would only escalate the violence, because then I would have to respond to you violently.
But you just hit my kid.
I did. But I would, if you want to be violent with me, why don't you express equally your displeasure with the Bush administration?
1-800-449-8686. Has the Bush administration pushed religion to the point where it is now intruding insufferably on the private lives of people? Mr. Dean Wheeler is an alternative healthcare professional. You know, you say that you have this alternative view of this religious Eastern. You say you've sort of taken a lot of different systems of belief.
Well, Phil, the belief system that I embrace is blithic or blist, and it is based on four tenets of being blissed, and they are to live in the world but not be of it, to respond with good grace and peace but not to allow the world to rancor you, to be careful and considerate of your own body but to also use that temple for its carnal purpose, and finally, to respect the authorities but not to allow them to emotionally and spiritually keep you as one would a sex slave.
Is the caller there? All right, what? You there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. The blithic state that you're talking about was not with you, though, when you hit that child, was it?
No, sir, it was not.
All right, but you are saying that for you to take responsibility, you also have to allow the Bush administration to share that. We've been hearing an awful lot from the people in the private sector about this idea of religion. You're not allowed to say Merry Christmas here. You can't say Merry Christmas there. Is that the kind of a world that you want to see?
Well, I think it's the only kind of world we can possibly live in, Phil, and maintain our composure. I don't want to have to react the way I did with that child. But as long as the Bush administration has put front and center its desire to keep Christmas tree lots and the public display of religious symbol during the Christmas season, then when kids come to my door Christmas caroling, then that is going to provoke me to a point where I'm just going to lose it, and someone is going to bleed. And I don't want it to be on my watch.
Why not put a sign up on your front lawn that says no Christmas caroling?
Well, you know, it's surprising how little good that does. You can put a sign up that says no Halloween trick-or-treating, and the kids are still going to let the air out of the tires of your car. Or in the case last Halloween, they took a beautiful Persian cat that I have, and when I came out to get the paper the next morning, the animal had been lynched. It's just,
oh my God!
It's that kind of world that people are. And with Christmas caroling, I have decided that I'm going to respond in kind.
Well, I don't think that striking the child is the answer. If it happened again, would you do that again?
I would try not to, Phil. But as long as President Bush is going to be silent about his belief in intruding religion into our lives, then I'm going to have to. The next time I see a kid come to the door singing a Christmas carol, I am going to have to do what my body tells me to do, and that is to swing my right leg back, wearing a hobnail boot, and follow through.
What does that mean? Fall, kick the kid?
If that's how you see it, yeah.
1-800-449-8686. Wearing a hobnail boot and follow through. Mr. Dean Wheeler joins us on the separation of church and state. Should Christmas carolers be allowed to go door to door, given the fact that they are pushing their religion down the throats of private homeowners? Or should this kind of thing now be restricted? Mr. Wheeler, in the instance of his home, was visited by Christmas carolers. And I envy the guy. When's the last time anybody came to your door and Christmas caroled? He was visited by Christmas carolers, and he grabbed one of the kids and yanked his pants down and spanked him. He said that violent act was, yes, his responsibility, but also influenced and perhaps caused by the Bush administration's encouragement of this blurring of the lines between religion and state. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You would stick an ice pick into a baby to save a cougar in a bush.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What is this again?
It's a bread baking competition that they have every year in Novato, and people come from all over the country, really, to exchange recipes, whole wheat grains, seven sprouted grains, etc.
All right, Dean Wheeler is with me about Christmas caroling, and really this is about religious symbol in public places.
Yes. So it's about how it provokes a guy like me, who up until I discovered a way to live my life without rancor, I was a troubled man. I had been married 3 times. I had abused all 3 of my wives. And I found a place to live in, which was a place of tranquility. And I wouldn't beat women anymore, and I wouldn't want to abuse children. And yet, after finding that place of tranquility, these Christmas carolers come to my house and completely destroy that space that I've created, to the point where I wanted to pick this kid up by his ears and throw him into a, you know, into a wood chipper. That
is violent, and I wouldn't say...
Well, but again, let's remember that George Bush is partially to blame for this.
Well, but to assault a child... Let me go to Stacey. Stacey, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I just find it very hard to... I mean, I'm sitting here, and I'm listening to how...
Yes.
I hear you say that George Bush is creating this Judeo-Christian world and
yes.
shoving this down our throats, and he's very intolerant. And when those little children came to your door thinking that what they were doing was a good thing and that they were getting much joy from it, and you physically assault the child, where is the tolerance for that child?
It was wrong of me. I agree. It was very wrong of me. But why won't you realize that it isn't all my fault? That George Bush pushed my hand, almost was holding my hand and making me slap that child's bare area.
Did I miss something? Was he there? Did he?
Yeah, good point. Good point, Stacey. George Bush didn't pull your hand.
Phil, the George Bush that I know is the man who talks about religion all the time, morning, noon, and night, until you want to be sick all over. The front of your robe. And I am trying to say, I take responsibility for striking that child, yes. But George Bush, if I hit that child, George Bush pulled his pants down. That's what I'm saying.
You can't sit there and blame somebody like that for helping you to do that. You did that. You have to take responsibility
yeah.
for your own actions.
Now let's talk about this. Oh, go ahead, Stacey. I'm sorry.
I just find
what
it...
Say, Phil?
I mean,
I want
that's
Stacey
what's to... That's a good. That would be a good excuse for everybody, don't you think? I mean, well, George Bush partially made me do it. I mean, you start using that as an excuse, and the next thing you know, everybody can do that. Well, I drink because of George Bush.
No, that's of course not. But in the instance of religion, isn't George Bush the one who is always talking on news conferences and press conferences about how Jesus was nailed up on a cross by Jews and all of this nonsense? Yes, he is.
I've never heard him say that.
Where he's ever referred to the crucifixion of Christ or about the Jewish culture doing that.
Well, if it was my hand that hit that child, it was George Bush's knee that the boy laid over. And why is that? Because of the culture of violence.
All right. Stacey, I appreciate your call, and I also appreciate you, Dean, taking responsibility. But the Bush excuse that Stacey is just referring to is being used by everybody about everything.
No, it isn't, Phil. George Bush did cause the war in Iraq and the suffering of millions around the world, but he is not responsible, for instance, for the prohibitions on Wheatina and things like that.
What prohibition on Wheatina?
That's what they're discussing. That's why we're having the bread-breaking competition, because there is a certain prohibition now against certain wheat products.
Okay, Stacey, thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
A lot of this stuff is alternative.
No, Wheatina is... Do you enjoy Wheatina? It is very big with my congregation.
All right, let me go over here to Barbara. Barbara, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Barbara. Hi.
Yes, I don't understand how people, be it him, other people, can blame someone else for their lack of self-control. Why they have to blame someone else because they have lost control.
Well, Barbara, yes, go ahead.
It's all you had to do was simply close the door and go back inside. You would have gotten your point across. If you had done this to my child, I would have filed a complaint with the police for physical abuse.
Did anyone file a complaint, Mr. Wheeler? I mean, I would. Barbara's right. I would have, too.
I'm very well known in the neighborhood as someone who comes from a history of violence, and I think people are probably afraid of me a little bit. I'm very, very peaceful now. I did, as I said, Barbara, and I was very candid, I had three wives that I beat pretty good almost on a daily basis. And maybe they're afraid of that. I don't know.
Why would they be afraid of you if you're a peaceful man?
I don't know. People, since George Bush has been elected, people are thinking it's screwy out there.
I am also getting very tired of having to give in to every other religion and bend over backwards so they are not offended. But God forbid that, you know, they should offend me. I don't, they purport and put all this stuff out to me that I, you know, I have to listen, but they can't listen to my point. I'm sorry. It's a two-way street.
Good point.
Well, Barbara, this is Dean. Don't you think the Muslims have some pretty good ideas about things?
I don't know that much about the Muslim religion from some things, depending on which point of view
it's
very good.
Shrouding
others
the women
are very bad.
Shrouding women. Now, you may think that's sexist, but a woman covering her face does two things. It preserves her beauty and makes it more alluring, and for women who are not pleasant to look at, it gives the rest of us a little bit of a time out from having to look at it.
Well, quite
your
right.
Face.
And in that respect, I think there are some men that should shroud their face.
Barbara, wouldn't you rather have to wear a shroud on, for instance, a lot of bad hair days?
All right, look, Barbara, thank you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
2 weeks ago, Mr. Dean Wheeler's home was visited by Christmas carolers. An experience I dare say many of us would like to have, and I'm not judging you, Mr. Wheeler, solely on that basis, but because you are fervently a believer in the separation of church and state, you reacted violently. You spanked, as you say, one of the children who was caroling there at the front door of your house. You blame all of this. In part, I realize you're taking responsibility for your actions, but you also say, and I'm quoting because I wrote it down, if I spanked that child, it was George Bush who pulled his pants down, correct?
I firmly believe that.
All right, now I got a question for you before we take a call. You admit to having abused three wives.
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Who was president at the time you abused those wives to make you abuse them?
Phil, you know,
well, that's a good question. Who, what, was it Clinton? Did he make you beat your wives?
Phil, the truth is, when I was married to Carrie, to Alice and Sandra, the three women that I was married to prior to my Blithic initiation, it wasn't about politics at all. It was the fact that they were women that wouldn't do things that I asked them to do. It really is.
So you're saying it was their fault?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
But now you spank this kid at your front door because it's Bush's fault.
Because I have been initiated into the Blithia.
Into the I don't know this religion.
It's a combination of some Eastern mythologies, and it's also a dietary system.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, this character has got to get another life. He doesn't like it here. Maybe he should try the Muslim world over in the Middle East. Go to Iraq and maybe help those people understand what's going on to create a democracy over there. He won't have to worry about kids going to the door singing caroling and Christmas songs and all that. This guy's one short of stepping into the gallows over in California or whatever the death penalty is over there, because if he keeps on beating women, eventually he's going to be joining what's his name that's on trial right
Scott
now
Peterson.
Over there.
Scott
yeah,
Peterson.
Scott Peterson.
Well, I'd like to comment, Phil.
Go ahead.
Richard, I've never murdered anybody, and I do not beat women any longer because women no longer provoke me.
Yeah, either did Peterson. He didn't kill anybody, and he was a good golfer, too.
Well, I don't know about his golf game. I understand that he's a young man who made some mistakes.
Yeah, he killed a wife and a baby to be. What more could you want to do in life against your fellow man?
Well, that's a good point.
Well, gentlemen, I would like to point out I haven't killed anybody. I mean, I don't know where you people are coming from, but I'm saying that George Bush pulled the pants of that child down.
Give me a break. I've heard the same garbage since the 7th of November and the whole last 2 years about Bush this, Bush that, and Bush this. We're lucky to have him as president of the United States right now, I'll tell you that. And just because you hate him doesn't mean your hand to pull that kid's pants down. And it's a good thing you didn't have me as a parent standing in that door, because I would have grabbed you by the sack and swivel and dragged you through that door and slapped your little face from ear to ear.
Well, Richard, I appreciate your...
And I can show you how violent I can get.
Well, I appreciate the strength of your anger, but I have to remind you, I beat three wives, and I'm trying to be a better man. But don't push me too far.
The push you, you know, boy, I wish I had you over here right now. I'd push you. I'd push you just like I did the Viet Cong when I was in Vietnam twice. You're talking to a 30-year retired Marine Master Sergeant here, and I think I know which end is up in this country, and you sure aren't on either end of it.
Well, sir,
and it's a shame that people like us had to protect your butt to give you a life over in this country.
Richard,
you are very ungrateful, sir.
Richard, hold on for a minute. You're a veteran, correct?
Yes, I am.
All right, I got another veteran on the line. It's interesting how these...
Well, Phil, I don't want to speak to people who represent a military establishment.
Now, hold on for a minute. Is this Lloyd?
Yes, sir, it is Lloyd. And I want to echo the words of this veteran. I was in a Korean conflict in 1950, 1952 at Chosin Reservoir. And we pulled a few Marines out of the reservoir there, and I want to tell this guy you got on the phone right now, what is your name?
I'm Mr. Wheeler.
Mr. Wheeler, if you were standing in front of me, I'd take that hobnail boot, and I would bury it all the way up, right up you to the you-know-what. I can't even use the language.
You know, I can't understand the ungratefulness people have in this nation. I have never seen in the last several years the hatred of American people to this country. Forget about Bush, or forget about who's the president. They hate America. And what really ticks me off is that we got roughly a million and a half military trying to defend 300 million people in this nation, and 90% is ungrateful, 5% is starting to run for Canada, and the other 5% can't even pass the military test to get in there to help the guys over in Iraq.
Yeah,
Mr. Henry, I want to respond. I don't hate America. I love this country so long as it provides me with an ability to practice Blithia.
Blithia is what? That your religion?
Yes. And the separation of Blithia from Christianity.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. This is Lloyd.
Go ahead.
If this pansy was in front of me when I was in the... We would have slapped a mop wig on him and a little lipstick. And, you savvy?
A mop wig and lipstick.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as that.
Well, I tell you,
So you're talking about assaulting me in a manner that one would sexually?
No, I'm not saying that, you fruit. I'm saying that.
Okay, gentlemen, I want to thank Richard and Lloyd. And
wait a minute, you didn't hear me. I want to say something.
What?
Mr. Henry, don't yell at me, because I can get pretty... I beat up three women.
Yeah, good for you. You beat up three...
You know, you keep on saying that. You sound like you're proud of that. And then you pick on a little kid. I don't understand that. You have a mental problem, sir.
I take this guy, and I just bought myself a brand-new Chevrolet Excursion, and I got the four-wheel and everything, and I drive over top of your face with it.
Well, both of you guys can blow it out.
Okay, we had to edit that out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've
Richard,
heard worse than that.
Richard,
Hey, Richard, remember back at Basic when we'd slap a mop wig on the company mule and paint a little lipstick?
Well, you get out of here with this guy. Richard, thank you for your call, sir.
Okay, guy, take care.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Wheeler, I can only say...
He hung up.
Oh, he hung up? I could still hear his car.
Apparently, he leapt from the car.
He what?
He leapt out of the car. He was so humiliated.
Put the line back up. Are you there, Mr. Wheeler?
No. I heard it. I can play the tape back.
Well, turn. You mean his car is still running and he leapt from the car?
Yeah, apparently you're so humiliated.
You have that on tape, bud?
I do.
Play it. All right, Richard, thank you very much. And Mr. Wheeler, are you there?
I can't take it any longer.
Yeah!
So he leapt out of the car?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Well, what do you mean your understanding?
Well, I can't take it anymore, and he went, yeah.
I think that's the first time in the history of talk radio that a guy has concluded his call to a talk show and then leapt from his own car. 1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Be lovely with me. Come on, be lovely.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Those of you who are listening to our show and have listened to the show for a long time, I really believe what I'm about to tell you. I really believe this. And I want to preface it with my usual little disclaimer. I say this in all modesty. But those of you who have been listening to our show and have stayed with the show for a long time, someday when I'm long gone, and people say, oh, I used to listen to Phil Henry. About 90% of them are going to be lying. But you guys out there, you will be telling the truth. Because I really believe this radio show has had a huge impact in the kind of comedy and social commentary we deliver. How do I know? Because even broadcast professionals, guys that have worked in the business a long time, a lot of them don't get it. Are you ready for that? Don't get it. And I could explain to you what I mean by don't get it. Of course they know that I do the voice of these characters. But how in the hell do you call what you do, Henry News Talk, how can that possibly conform to the public's need to hear a lot of hot air? You know, half the people that do these shows don't believe what they're saying. You know that, don't you? You don't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
You don't?
Rush Limbaugh?
Who's Rush Limbaugh? Rush Limbaugh?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm saying a lot of these lightweights, they don't believe half the stuff they're saying. And the people that call those shows only call up to hear themselves talk. Like the callers. The callers we get on our show.
Yeah, you spit salad all over me.
Excuse me, bud. The callers we get on our show are really, there's some real stuff going on there, man. I mean, they call, most of these people call, they've never called a talk show, but they got a call because the stuff we're doing, you know, provokes them into having a real emotional response. But I just think that when our show, which I truly believe the tapes of which will go into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame and anything else they got, there are going to be a lot of people saying, oh, yeah, I used to listen to Phil Henry. Yeah, you didn't. You just be there and you tell them, no, you didn't. I know you weren't there. I was listening, but you weren't. I put on a hobnail boot, pull back my right leg, and follow through. Man. Dean Wheeler on the Phil Henry Show, dealing with a kid who comes to his front door Christmas caroling. I might have spanked him, but George Bush pulled his pants down. All right, I'd like to take a moment here to tell you about our CD, but I won't be too long-winded. I really want to tell you about the pizza that we're eating tonight. This is not a sponsor. This is not, please don't, I'm not doing a commercial. I just want to tell you, I got to give props to these guys because this is the greatest pizza in Los Angeles. Robbie Max. Yeah! Every now and again, we get hungry here at night, and we'll order out, and Robbie Mack has got, what do we got here, Chris? What's on this thing? Cheese?
That's a large pepperoni, sausage, onion, and black olive.
Oh, and there's some black, oh my God, is it delicious. Just delicious. It's a thin crust, which I personally like, a big thick crust. To me, a thick crust pizza is some guy's excuse for making it. He's too lazy to make a really good pizza, so he just throws a lot of cheese and a big fat crust, and the next thing you know, you got a big fat guy walking out of your restaurant. But we got, and I got this antipasto, and they're just fantastic, these guys. And I just, you know, we've ordered a lot of pizza down through the years. Being in radio, you're always calling late night. I remember when we were in New York, and we're at the Broadcasting Museum, and we're doing our show. Now, get a load of this. New York City. Do you think people know about pizza there? I would hope so. And yet, when I was doing my show there at the Museum of Broadcast, of the Museum of Television Radio, right there on 46th, I think, I said, so we want to send out for some pizza. There was engineers there, and nobody knew it. Nobody knew a pizza place in town. These clowns, I said, what? This is New York. There's got to be some place around. Well, you could try this place. I said, we finally sent out for some. It wasn't that good because nobody knew. So that's when I went down to Little Italy, and I sat there in one of them little chairs on the sidewalk, and I put on a bib, and I ate lobster.
Right where, the bib?
Because that's what they put on you, man. You slop it all down the front.
Don't you have a napkin?
No, man. When you go to an Italian restaurant, some of these places, and you eat that lobster,
yeah,
they put a bib on you.
Like, do they give you a high chair?
Are you being smart-ass with me?
No, didn't you just say that you put on a bib?
Yes, it ain't a baby's bib. It ain't because I'm spitting up.
Well, then why do you wear it?
Because the freaking lobster juice gets down the front of you, man. It's a tradition. Do they put me in a high chair?
Probably put on a diaper and a little cute bonnet or something.
That's it, bud. I go down to an Italian restaurant in Little Italy. Immediately, I put on a diaper, a bonnet, and I sit in a high chair. Oh, and I smack you, man. You make me so proud to be your father.
Got you again.
Yeah, you jackass. 1-800-449-8686. Now, on to our Best Of CD, the Best of Phil Hendry Show, Fahrenheit 2004 CD. Shipping tomorrow, in time for Christmas. All you guys have pre-ordered, baby. You're going to get Fahrenheit 7-Eleven in time for Christmas. This CD is so cool. It's a double CD, and it has the phone calls on one CD and some of our great bits on the other CD. I wish I had a copy of it. But I can tell you that some of the bits that we do are like Cowboy Jim is on there and a few other ones. And then the really cool phone calls. Here we are. We have a fans answering machine, Cowboy Jim, calling Michael Moore. Remember that, bud?
Yeah, he hung up on you.
Yeah, I did. Art Bell, Chris Norton, Jeff Dowder and Harvey Wireman doing a debate. We got the Skippy and Frank Morning Show, Guessing Your Weight, Where Do Babies Come From? I couldn't believe how stupid you were on that one.
Right, I didn't understand what you said. Mark's wife was sore.
And I wasn't about to tell you why. Also, Jim Rome, How Do Forest Fires Start, Hal and Viola, and Calling from the Barn Phone. That is on our skits. And then the calls, Ted Bell and the Curse of Lowbrow Customers, Margaret Gray and the Jesus Freak. We have Vernon Dozier and his baseball career, Herb Sewell and the Blondes. Those of you who are big Herb Sewell fans who have been requesting bits, they'll be on our CD this year. Don Parsley and the Munchkin. And that is where Don Parsley is speaking to a caller who sounds like she's three inches tall. Really little tiny lady. Bobby Dooley and the Immigration Problem. We'll have a cut called Steve Bozell and the Dirty Diaper. Justin McElroy and his stupid parents. Always fun to hear from that punk. Clara Bingham, middle school teacher. Jay Santos, the pervert and the garage sale. That's a pretty good bit where Jay talks about how garage sales promote pervs walking into your neighborhood and sniffing tricycle seats at garage sales. Larry Grover and the War Widow. Margaret Gray in the bathtub. Jim Sadler and the bathroom break. Herb Sewell's out-of-body experience. Vernon Dozier, gas station owner. David G. Hall fields listeners' calls. And Steve Bozell's sexual confidence. Always in question. Over 2 hours worth of audio on our CD, our double CD this year. And it's only 20 stinking bucks.
It's $23.50.
Yeah, with the handling and shipping, it's $23.50. But the $23.50 goes to the post office. I can't do anything about that. The $20 goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Really cool gift to give at Christmas time for the Phil Hendry fan in your life. And if you want other gift ideas, go to our souvenir shop. We've got a brand new Phil Hendry Show crew neck shirt. We got a brand new Western Estates Homeowners Association fitted baseball cap or ball cap. We've got all the standard stuff there, man. So hit up our website, www.philhendryshow.com. And when in L.A. and you need a good pizza, you got to go to this Robbie Max. I've never been there. All I do is call them, and that dude, they're always Johnny on the spot, man. Food's great. It's the Phil Hendry Show, world famous.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.